Healthy cooking and healthy eating are a passion for Rebecca Woodland for good reason. Her vegetarian diet changed her life, may even have saved her life. So when she teaches her cooking classes, she's doing more than sharing recipes and techniques. She's offering a whole new way to look at the world, and she's with us this morning. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Chris.
Is it fair to say that your shift in how you prepared and consumed food changed everything for you?
Pretty much, yes.
Well, how did it all come about?
Well, I had cancer, and it was quite apparent that my eating habits up to that point had been, in part, a contributing factor. Mm-hmm. And when I changed how I ate, the effect was so radical, not just for the cancer, but for the rest of my life. The headaches were much less. My complexion cleared. Sleep patterns were better.
A lot of things you didn't even think were related.
Yeah,
to.
things that I just figured, well, I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very old at the time, but yeah, you know, that's kind of what we think.
But it is easy to get into a pattern of sort of accepting the little aches and pains that come along.
Yes.
And you found out you didn't have to.
Right. Yeah. So I was really blessed that the results of my change in diet were quite apparent right away. Not everyone is like that, but for me, it really made a big difference.
Well, I know that when you're a cancer patient, there's certain foods they tell you are just accelerants, are that you know, cancer likes fat, cancer likes sugar.
Oh, yeah, cancer loves sugar. And sugar is in just about everything in the U.S., all the processed foods. And if you read the labels, it's pretty scary, especially when you realize what the labels really are saying. Yeah.
But in the course of consuming those foods over the course of a lifetime, you get some pretty built-in habits. Are they hard to break?
No. The thing is, you have to replace everything with something as good or better. Mm-hmm. If you just say, well, I'm not going to eat meat, I'm not going to eat sugar, I'm not going to eat this, pretty soon you're not eating at all, or you're just eating, give up, and you're eating junk.
And you're craving
yeah,
everything that you gave
and
up.
And you have
like
no
crazy
social life either, which is, you know, and food is as much about fellowship as it is about just feeding yourself.
Well, does that get in the way for you now? I mean, when everybody goes out to a steakhouse or...
No, actually, there's a lot of good side dishes that are veg-friendly. So and when you get to know the chefs, one of my rules of thumb is I'm always suspicious of any restaurant or cafe or fast food place that has more than one of them. In other words, franchises and chains, that's kind of a red flag for me, because I know that they're less likely to accommodate my specific preferences. But when you get to know some of the chefs and you get familiar with the menus, and if I know I'm going out to a particular restaurant in a few days, I can email them and let them know. And they're very happy to accommodate and make adjustments as necessary. In fact, some of them really welcome the chance to be creative.
So you're not constrained by feeling like a special case?
No, I never act like I'm a special case. And when I go somewhere that's, you know, potluck, or where it would be, you know, fine for me to bring something, I bring something to share with everyone. And usually that's the first thing to go, because it's different and it's delicious and it's beautiful.
Well, I think the trick and the thing that keeps a lot of people away from going to a vegetarian diet is, and you've heard this said before, oh, it's going to be bland, I'm going to be bored to death, I'm going to crave my meat.
Well, that's just not true if you're actually preparing food deliciously. And when you stop to consider that many, in fact, I'd say most of the cuisines of the world that people say they love are not meat intensive. Meats are just used more as a condiment when they're used. Mm-hmm. And so you really focus on the flavor of the other ingredients, the vegetables and herbs and spices and things like that. And it's when you're using fresh ingredients prepared as freshly as possible, it's absolutely delicious. It really opened my world, because before I was thinking, you know, like your typical American, where you've got that brown thing on your plate, which is the meat, and then you've got the white thing, which is your starch, and then you have these little things in, you know, cubes or whatever that are called vegetables, and then you have a boring iceberg salad that you call a salad that has ranch dressing on it, which is a heart attack in a bottle, as far as I'm concerned. So that's not very healthy. But when you eliminate the meat, you have an opportunity to fill up on the good things, the nutritious vegetables and greens, the fiber, and it's much more satisfying, actually.
And you can also eat more of it, right?
Oh, you can eat a lot more of it, yes.
So is that a big part of what gets people in trouble with their diets, is they just sheer volume and feeling that meat has to take up a large percentage of that?
I don't know. I just know that a lot of times when you eat meat, you don't have any room left for the really good, healthy things because you just feel full and heavy.
When you introduce your means of preparing food and consuming food to people, how difficult is it to make a convert?
Oh, once they taste it and they try to make it themselves, it's not hard. I mean, I'm not looking for converts because it's not a religion. You know, some people act like it is. But, I think everybody would benefit from eating more plants. Everybody. I'm not saying you have to eat plants exclusively, but everybody will benefit from eating more plants. And one of the things in my classes, and this is something I hear after every class, and it's totally unsolicited. It comes from people of all ages, children, men, women, non-vegetarians, anybody. And at the end of the class, they go, I can do this. And they're so surprised that it's easy and it's absolutely delicious.
So that's a big perception coming in, that this is going to be a highly specialized skill they may or not be able
to. Yeah, and they think they're going to actually, I've had people come to my classes and actually have a dinner reservation waiting for them after class because they're so sure they're going to still be hungry. And they end up canceling the reservation because they're just so happy with the food and so satisfied.
So let me go to a vegetarian cooking class and get a burger on the way home.
Yeah. It's crazy,
isn't it? Hedge my
bets,
right?
That's exactly it. And then people realize that they don't need to do that anymore because it's delicious and it's easy enough.
You're also emphasizing, I should have called them food preparation classes, because you're telling me that you're not doing a lot of cooking in the summer classes. Huh?
Right. And summer, well, in Hawaii, we're blessed with a year-round growing season. But in the summer, it's warmer, and we don't want to spend a lot more time in the kitchen over a hot stove. Being in a kitchen but not over a hot stove is a good thing. So the classes I'm doing in the summer are mostly, well, I call them heatless and meatless. Uh-huh. And so don't worry, you're not going to be eating, you know, veggie platter food and whatever those things are that, you know.
Keep it interesting.
I can keep it very interesting, and every class includes a full meal, not just those little boring tasting portions, which don't give you any idea of how good it really is or how satisfying it can be.
Well, Becky, it's good to talk to you. Thanks very much for coming in.
Yes, and my next class is Thursday, June 10th, or July 10th, pardon me, at the Manoa School of Art and Music in Manoa Marketplace. An advanced registration required. Check RebeccaWoodland.net.
All right. Thanks, Becky. And as she just told you, those weekly cooking classes are Thursdays. You can learn more about them at hpr2.org.